From Hollywood, California, we bring you the Smiths of Hollywood. Greetings from the Smiths, played as usual by Brenda Marshall as Nancy Smith.
Bumps, what were you and Uncle Cecil talking about?
Jan Ford as daughter Bumps.
Uncle Cecil travels. He was telling me about a tribe of wild women in Africa with no tongues.
Harry Von Zell as Bill Smith.
Well, I don't believe that. Wild women with no tongues?
No tongues, William. That's what makes them wild.
And that was Arthur Treacher as Uncle Cecil visiting from England. The music in our program, much of it still in the drawing board stage, is furnished by Charles Alvino Hathaway and his all-boy orchestra. Our sponsor, of course, is familiar. If you don't believe it, listen. Take care of all the introductions, except the two most important ones. Our sound man, Wayne Kenworthy. And engineer, Howard Cooley. Who are quite a help in making this program impossible. But now on with the Smiths of Hollywood. Here's Bill Smith.
Hi, everybody. This is Doghouse Smith speaking. Old Doghouse Smith, known to his more intimate friends as 8-Ball Smith. Better explain that. It began this morning when I woke up, in a way. You know, there's nothing worse than waking up with hammers beating inside your head and seeing through bloodshot eyes the lovely vision of your wife, clear-eyed and collected, looking at you with that, I warned you, look.
Darling? How do you feel?
Nancy, you have a cruel streak in you. Can't you look at me and tell how I feel?
No, oh, you poor thing. Would you like a nice warm martini?
Nancy, when I said you were cruel, I was wrong. You are inhumane.
Oh, do you want to sleep some more?
Even if I did want to sleep some more, what chance would I have?
Well, I thought it was a nice party, didn't you?
Nancy, believe me, I don't wish to discuss that party. What time did we get home?
Daylight. Of course, we started home at midnight.
Yeah, I know. We started home at midnight, and I said that evening is young, I said.
Yes. I didn't think you'd remember.
Unfortunately, I do. I remember. We started home again at 1 o'clock and again at 2 o'clock. And you were giving me the eye every hour on the hour.
What eye, darling?
You know what eye. The eye that husbands always get from their wives. And believe me, there's nothing worse than that you'll feel sorry tomorrow look.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah.
Especially since you have nothing to feel sorry for. Why, you were the life of the party.
Mm-hmm. In a moment, you'll tell me I put on a lampshade for a hat and began impersonating Tom Brenneman. But I didn't. I know I didn't. All I did was sit in the corner all night with some stuffed shirt talking about life.
I know, darling. And you were quite charming.
Well, what? Really?
Oh, everyone thought so.
Mm.
Especially Cynthia Glamour.
Well, now don't be womanish. All Cynthia and I talked about, dear, was you.
Uh-huh. I knew you were talking about me.
But we weren't talking. I mean, not like you think.
How do you know what I think?
Well, oh, is there any cold water for a shower?
I'll go cool some for you. You know, I can't figure out why an intelligent man like you is taken in by a woman like Cynthia Glamour.
Taken in by a woman like Cynthia? And Nancy, believe I haven't the slightest interest in Cynthia Glamour.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Well, at four this morning, you thought it would be a fine idea if we all went over to Cynthia's house and sang songs and scrambled eggs.
What a fiendish memory you have.
Oh, no. No, just curious about human nature. For example, I wonder why you spent so much time telling Cynthia how fast you ran the 100-yard dash when you were in college.
What is wrong with running the 100-yard dash in college? Oh. Thousands are running the...
Nothing, nothing. Except you keep running it. And I may have a small mind, but it always seems to me that when you're talking to some female, you leer.
Now, don't say I do not leer. And just because I'm in a weakened condition, I refuse to be intimidated. Cynthia Glamour just happens to be one of those kind of women who make other women jealous.
Cynthia Glamour just happens to be one of those kind of women. Period.
Nancy, believe me, this is beneath you. Cynthia is a good sport, and so is her husband.
Well, I'm glad you think so, dear.
Yes.
Because they're due for brunch at any minute now.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You invited them all and all the other charming people who stayed on till dawn to come and have brunch with us.
Gabriel's teeth, I forgot. Nancy, honest, I can't stand any of those people. We have to do something.
Well, I should have... You'd have thought of that before you invited them.
Well, why didn't you stop me?
Well, I tried to, darling.
Oh.
But unfortunately, there wasn't a croquet mallet around to hit you with.
Yeah. Well, honest, we have to do something. I can't... Listen, Uncle Cecil is good at subterfuge. Let's get him up and ask him what to do.
Darling, Uncle Cecil is probably still at the party.
Huh?
If you remember, he didn't come home with us.
Yeah, I'm not... How do you like that? Gets invited to a party, doesn't even know when to leave. The hostess winds the alarm clock, but Uncle Cecil, he wants to scramble eggs and sing songs. Nancy, we weren't the only people who stayed until dawn, were we?
Oh, no. There were 10 more. But you'll see, they're all coming for brunch.
No, now, please,
oh,
Nancy.
Yes, they are.
No,
yes.
No, I'll do something. I'll put up a measles sign or I'll lock the door up. I know, I'll call them all up and I'll tell them we're in Chicago.
Oh, you're brilliant, dear.
Well, I'll tell them... Nancy, they'll start arriving any minute and I'll help me. What will I tell them?
Well, you might tell them how fast you run the 100-yard dash when you were in college.
Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? Nancy, my dear, I do. There's something about you I love. But at the moment, I can't for the life of me think what it is. Hello, Miss Glamour?
What daylight does to a man. Last night, she was Cynthia.
Quiet, Nancy. Miss Glamour, this is Bill Smith. I... Huh? Oh, fine, fine. How do you feel? Oh, yes. Well, Nancy, oh, she feels fine, too. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the reason I called was... Huh? You did what? You lay awake all night trying to remember how far I'd thrown the shot put? 10 feet? No, you've got it wrong, Miss Lickamore. It was 10 flat. That's how fast I ran the 100-yard dash, yes. No. It must have been someone else. I never put the shot.
Poor Bill, not a shot to put.
Yeah, Nancy, please. What is that, Miss Glamour? Yeah, oh, that was Nancy. Yes, she said to give you her love. Yes. You're welcome, yes. Yeah, oh, the reason I called. Well, it was about brunch. You see, Miss Glamour, unfortunately, we have to drive to Fresno.
That's a twist.
Yeah. Oh, no. We just got word... Nancy's mother. Well, the telegram was a bit vague, but quite a high fever. And she's... Yes. Well, we will. Oh, yes. We'll call you when we get back. Oh, I don't know. Might be several days. George, Bill Smith. Fine. No, I wasn't. Yes, fine. How do you feel? Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Well, look, George, the reason I called was about the brunch, you know. Well, I was... The brunch. I was one... The brunch. The brunch, yes. You know, breakfast and lunch. I was wondering if you'd take a rain check because... No, it's Nancy's mother. Double pneumonia. Yeah, we're leaving for Fresno. am really awfully sorry, Mrs. Breslin, and we will, I promise. We'll call you as soon as we get back. Hmm? Yes, Nancy's mother. Leprosy. Oh, boy. What a business. Is that everyone we invited to brunch, Nancy?
All except the cab driver who brought us home.
Now, listen, even the best-intentioned ribbing can get out of hand, dear, and I'm not a criminal. I did nothing wrong.
Oh, no, look, Bill, I apologize.
Well,
I mean it.
Geez.
Now, really, darling, you were quite charming. You were just happy. You know, there's something about a woman in love which refuses to recognize that her man can be happy because of something else besides herself. Whether the rival is other people, a newspaper, or a highball. Anything that the woman can't be.
Hmm.
Do I make sense?
A lot of sense. And I loved it. Stick your lips over this way. I want to kiss you.
Well, much again for breakfast?
Now, Bunce, listen, I was merely kissing your very wonderful mother. Do you object?
No, and even if I did, I don't see what good it would do.
Well?
Poppy, can you hear the latest moron joke?
No, and...
One moron said to the other, "Do you want to chew my gum?" And the other moron answered, "Which one? Upper or lower?"
Oh.
Oh, Bunce, where do you hear such stories?
From Jimmy. Here's another one.
Well...
One moron says to the other, "So you're from Colorado. Which part?" And the other moron says, "All of me." Isn't that good, Pop?
Yes, Bump, don't you think you're a little old for Jimmy?
Good morning. Don't bother answering that. I have a question to ask, and I expect a civil answer.
Well, got up on the wrong side of bed, did we?
We, if us must be editorial about this, haven't been to bed yet at all. And at the cost of making myself repetitious and a bore, I have a question to ask. Where are the aspirins?
Oh-ho! We have a headache this morning?
No, William, we do not have a headache. The window in my room won't stay up, and I thought I'd prop it up with an aspirin. Now, where are the aspirins?
Well, in that case, Uncle Cecil, they're on the night table next to my bed.
Thank you, William. Thank you for answering my question.
John, so?
That is all I want from you in the way of conversation for the rest of the day.
Uncle Cecil, what do you use for an eyewash? Red ink?
Ooh! Why don't you go outside and play in the poison ivy? I say, William, what time did you and Nancy get home?
Oh, it was early.
Yes, wasn't it, though?
Did you just get home, Uncle Cecil?
Oh, an hour ago, yes. I've been sitting out on the veranda waiting for the sun to come up.
Are you sure the sun was what you were waiting for?
Nancy, there is something about women and termites which repulsed me. I'm really provoked at the woman who gave the party last night.
Well, Mrs. Ambrose, why? I thought she was wonderful.
Wonderful? Do you know what that woman did?
What?
At 6 this morning, she had the nerve to shoo me out of the house.
Well, you're lucky she shooed. I would have used DDT.
No consideration. And I just sold that movie chap on an idea for a picture.
Which movie chap?
That's the trouble, William. I didn't get his name.
What?
I forget. But he mentioned he was willing to pay $25,000 for my movie.
Wait a minute. When did you write a movie?
Just before the confounded hostess shooed us out the door. $25,000. Imagine that.
That reminds me of the latest moron story.
Wait a minute.
It seems it's two
Wait,
morons.
Just a minute, Bob. Uncle Cecil, I didn't know you wrote movies.
Well, I didn't either, William. But last night I had a terrific idea. An historical epic about the American Revolutionary War.
Well, that's been done 100 times, Uncle Cecil.
Not like I want to do it.
No, Bill.
Now, in my story, Paul Revere can't find his bridle, and England wins the war.
Oh. Well, now, that is just great. You mean to say some producer wanted to buy this? What producer?
Well, that's the trouble, William. I can't remember his name. I know if I saw him. $50,000. Imagine that.
Are you serious, Uncle Cecil?
Serious? Nancy, I'm tragic. Now, let's have breakfast, a pancake breakfast. I want to drown myself in maple syrup. You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm smart. I should check my IQ.
IQ? Mm. That reminds me of a moron story.
Oh, no.
One moron says to the other, "Do you know my IQ?" And the second moron says, "IQ? I IQ, too."
No. Oh, how utterly horrible. Tell me, Nancy, was your daughter born during a child shortage?
Psychiatry tells us great humor masks the most sensitive souls. But if you don't like my humor, I'll give it up.
That is the most brilliant suggestion of the morning.
Very well, but I won't allow my ego to be buried. I'll go practice my piano. That's what I'll do.
Well...
But you'll be sorry.
I say, Nancy, can't you stop that little musical delinquent?
Or would you rather have her tell moron jokes?
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Curb the little moron, count past four.
Listen, Nancy, can't bump practice later in the day. Really, it's quite a bit to face at this hour of the morning.
Oh, I'll fix it. I'll turn on the wireless. That's what I'll do. That'll drown her out. I should never have taken a romance. I should never have left all my friends for the dream of the Red River Valley. I'm on over the Red River Valley.
That, radio friends, was Hopalong Hathaway and his Pasadena Prune Pickers playing that new popular piece, You Broke My Heart in a Million Pieces, But Who Wants a Hamburger for a Heart? Blues. Hopalong Hathaway will be back with more jolly music after a word from our sponsor.
Later, dear. Your father has a sick headache.
I didn't know men got those, too.
Do you have to talk during a little magpie? I'm trying to think. Now, what was that movie producer's name?
Well, Uncle Cecil, what did he look like?
Well, he was tallish, you know, and he wore glasses. Or was that somebody else? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he was short and fat.
Maybe you dreamed the whole thing.
Oh, no, Nancy. Oh, no. I distinctly remember the man saying, we ought to get together or something like that. Confound it. Here is a fortune within my grasp. I can't remember who was offering me the fortune. I say, I couldn't have been that stiff, could I? Well, I think I'll go out to the backyard and try to get a grip on myself. I don't know.
Well, take a tip from me and get a grip on something firmer than yourself.
Oh, Nancy, you know you have a very cruel streak. I say, if the phone rings, call me, will you? Maybe that movie cap will ring me up.
Boy, am I glad I don't have the head he must have.
Oh, that's mighty brave talk from a man bulging at the temples like you.
Oh, no. Now, Nancy, I feel perfectly fine.
Fine. Mm. Then I'll get us some breakfast. Now, let's see. Maybe some oysters with whipped cream.
Oh, no. Nancy, please.
Who was the movie producer Uncle Cecil was talking to?
Well, I think he dreamed the whole thing.
Of course.
I didn't see any movie producers, did you?
No, the movie producer was probably one of the waiters playing a gag. Hey, you want to have some fun?
Well, I'm willing. Well, let's have breakfast first.
Huh? No, no, no. Listen. I'll go upstairs. Nancy, listen to me. I'll go upstairs and talk over the upstairs phone extension.
Oh, what sport?
No, you don't see what I mean. I'll disguise my voice and pretend that I'm a movie producer, and you call Uncle Cecil to the downstairs phone.
I get it.
Well, Bill Smith, you ought to be ashamed.
No.
It'll be funny, though, won't it?
Pop is ready, Mom. He said to call Uncle Cecil to the phone.
All right. But Bill's little jokes usually backfire. Uncle Cecil! Uncle Cecil!
You calling me, Nancy?
Someone wants you on the phone.
What? Oh, really?
I say, do you suppose it could be that movie chap? Did he give his name?
I couldn't understand the name.
Well, that sounds like the man. Now, give me the phone, will you? Now, if this deal comes through, I'll have a phone of my own put in. Maybe several. Hello?
Hello? Sir Cecil Smythe? This is Mr. Apple.
Who?
Apple. Don't tell me you don't remember me. After that long talk we had last night about your movie idea, $1 million idea.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. How are you, old chap?
I'm fine. I just called to confirm our date for this morning. Is noon all right?
Noon? Oh, yes. Splendid.
Very good. Then I'll see you at my house. Make it sharp if you can. I won't have much time.
Of course. By the way, how do I get to your house, Mr.?
Oh, you don't have a car? Well, take a cab then. I'll pay for it. But I'll see you at noon sharp. Goodbye.
One minute, Mr. Oh, confound it.
What's the matter, Uncle Cecil?
Hang it all, what a miserable situation.
Are you rich now that you sold your movie? Now you can pay me the 82 cents you owe me.
Hold it quiet, you little gargoyle.
Oh, I always knew money would go to your head.
I'm not rich, but I will be. And the greatest pleasure of being rich will be cutting you off without a cent.
Well, you'd better hurry if you're going to meet someone at noon.
That's just the point. I don't know whom I'm to meet or where. I say, could a man be named Womp Womp? It sounded just like that. Why didn't I get the chap's name?
Uncle Cecil, what's the matter?
William at Tragedy.
What?
The movie chap just called while you were upstairs and he wants to give me $1 million.
Oh, come now, Uncle Cecil.
Really, William, how can I meet him if I don't know who he is or where he lives? Oh, drat and double drat.
Uncle Cecil, it's past noon. Aren't you going to keep your date?
$2 million practically in my hand.
$2 million? That's what I call inflation.
I'm going to drown myself. I know. I'll go and hurl myself in the Los Angeles River. Oh, why was I born?
Oh, boy, do we have him running.
$2 million. Oh, look, Bill, I think we ought to tell him.
Yeah, okay, but after we pull the gag once more, I'm going up the upstairs phone again, and you call him to the downstairs phone.
Here, hand me that receiver quick. Hello.
Hello, Smythe. Where are you?
Where are you?
I'm right here.
Oh, yes. So you are, yes. Where is that?
At my house. You were supposed to be here at noon sharp.
Oh, I'm dreadfully sorry. Yes, I got tied up in a conference with David O. Zanuck and Daryl Selznick. Yes.
Well, of course, if you're not interested in a $3 million deal...
Oh, but I am, old chap. I say, I meant to call you, but I didn't have your number.
Yes, well, no harm done. Now, you get right over here.
Of course. But where?
Here, I'm still at home.
I say, old chap, now, how do I get there?
Get a taxi.
But the address, I mean.
Oh, the address, yes. Well, it's the same one, you know. But hurry, I have to be at the Brown Derby in an hour.
You do? I say, why don't I meet you there?
Oh, so that's it. My house isn't good enough for you, huh?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, I'll be delighted to come to your house.
Well, then come, and hurry. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello? Oh, oh. Cast a Pazuli. And seventh son of a seventh son. Now what will I do?
Lose another million, Uncle Cecil?
Oh, be quiet, I'll stuff you up the flu. Oh, misery, misery, why was I ever born?
This joke's gone far enough. We have to tell Uncle Cecil.
All right, but he sure fell hard. And the ingratiating way he talked. Where is he now?
He's been phoning for a half hour now.
He's probably calling every number in the phone book. Wait a minute, here he comes. I hate to end the joke, but I guess I better.
Hello. Hi-ho, everybody. I say, what are you looking so startled about?
Well, you changed mood, Uncle Cecil. An hour ago, you were going to drown yourself in the Los Angeles River.
Oh, yes. But then I didn't know how to get in touch with that movie chap, you see.
Huh?
Well, I solved it all.
You solved it? How?
Oh, it's quite simple. I simply called Mrs. Ambold, our hostess at the party last night, and got the names of all the guests who stayed after midnight.
Oh, but there were still 20 or 30 people at midnight.
Yes, I just called them all. And I invited them over for cocktails this afternoon.
You what?
Yes, the whole group.
Well, they can't come. We're in Fresno, remember, Bill?
Oh. Yes, one of those 20 people will be that producer, Depp. And I'll get a chance to explain. Oh, I say, don't you think I'm brilliant?
And now, a word from the management. Farewell to the Smiths who are waiting out Uncle Cecil's party in the attic. The Smiths of Hollywood is written by Dick Nosselman and Bob Presnell, Jr., and directed by Bob Presnell, Jr. Andrew Hickox is the producer. Starting our cast is Arthur Treacher, Brenda Marshall, Harry Von Zell, and Jan Ford. The music is scored and misconducted by Charles Hathaway. And this is Tyler McVeigh, who once ran the 100-yard dash himself, saying, cheerio until next time.